In chambers every month, sometimes every week, discussing Right to Dream 2 and the need for more Right to Dream 2s and the need for more low impact, low barrier, affordable housing units. And no, 3rd and Harrison is not the ideal spot, but that is the location that is on the table for us. And no, we will not be bringing more houseless people into the Southeast. They're already there. Incredible. We will not be bringing people that are going to be vandalizing cars or parking our company vehicles or using private property or city-owned property for a thoroughfare for our hazardous waste trucks to come in. And we will not be parking RVs on there that are hindering your trucks from getting to your building. They were already there. What I'm saying is we come in good faith with hopes of a good neighbor agreement. If you ask the neighbors in Old Town Chinatown, we have done nothing but enhance the neighborhood. We've helped police the neighborhood. We've brought down crime. You even said earlier today that you have heard from the police commissioner that we have been upstanding citizens. We plan to do the same thing in Southeast. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello, Mayor. My name is Pork Chop, a.k.a. Pork Chop's Projects. I've called you out in the newspaper to say come down and sleep with me at Right to Dream when I first moved here 3 years ago. I got stage 4 cancer. I got an amputated leg because I was homeless on your streets. I went through Tent City. You know what? It saved my life. Now I'm in a place called Bud Clark. It's a heroin house. We got people dying in there right now, and we're worried about these people coming down, about plate and all this other stuff. I ain't got time for all that. I ain't got time to listen all afternoon at these testimonies of these people. I'm going to tell you what's going on in this city. What's going on in this city is we need help with these people out there on the streets. We need a safe place to go. You know, I've been a truck driver. I've been working with asbestos. I know all that. I'm dying because of asbestos right now. I'm not dying because of heroin. Now, Right to Dream was a place for me to get off the streets and be safe when I got to town. Now, if you take that away from us, what are you going to give us? We can't go indoors because I'm indoors right now. You got a bigger problem indoors of these heroin houses. Now, I'm going back out on the streets, and I'm probably going to live over there because of that. I got stage 4 cancer. My leg's been cut off. I'm sitting in Bud Clark in a facility that is supposed to be helping me, but it's not because it's letting drugs go on in there. Now, Right to Dream does not let drugs on in there, and I can vouch for that because I'm part of the system that keeps it out of there. We work with cannabis people there. I go Christmas Eve 3 years in a row. I don't see these clowns out there feeding the homeless, but I was out there in my wheelchair feeding them food, putting shirts on their backs. I've gone up to Seattle, and I just got out of the jungle. I spent a week up there. I talked to the mayor up there. The mayor up there's got more problems than what you got. I hope that you will stand up and do some. I don't care about that buzzer. I'm here, and I'm homeless, and I don't care now. I want you, mayor, to call the president up and ask for the same thing Seattle did. You need help. You need it now. Because we got people, you got more problems than this. You got a heroin house here, and I want to meet with you and discuss that. And I want you to really say about Right to Dream and stick up for them. They have saved my life. And I keep clean and sober because I can take other people there to get help 24/7. To sit here and listen to these people say, I drove a truck. I can back a truck. I can put a triple in that hole. All right? I can put four trucks. And you know what? I worked for hazmat. I hauled government shipments. You know what? There's proper codes. For them to come in here and tell you all this stuff, I'm no genius. Get a flagman. $15 an hour. Do it. The other doors, they can find a way and a solution to pipe that chemical through their shop. If it's going to cost them a few more dollars, oh well. The guys, sisters out on the streets right now, well, good. I hope I find her, and I'm going to get her off the streets and not be sitting here in front of council. That's all I got to say. Pork Chops Projects.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Next. I'm sorry?
Just the next three.
Yes, please.
Next three are, first, was there Rodney Wall? I called you earlier. Okay, so we'll go with Tammy Moody, number 29, Earl Moody, and Ibrahim Mubarak.
Yeah, I think you're first. That's okay with you. Go ahead.
I'm Tammy Moody. I want to thank to Residream 2 for saving my marriage, saved my life. I was homeless 4 years ago. And Ibrahim, my sister-in-law, brought me up to Residream 2. And they took us off the streets, and they showed me what homeless was all about. They helped me get off drugs. Yeah, so that's why I do.
Thank you very much.
My name is Earl Moody. My wife, as she said, 4 years ago we came to town. My sister was in a clean and sober housing, cutting houses. He introduced us to Ibrahim and Right to Dream 2. We were 3 months into them opening it up. It did save our life and our marriage. Methamphetamines got the best of us. Within 4 months, we were into a place in Northeast Portland, 72nd Killingsworth. My business started to flourish, so I moved to Idaho to do that. I lost business and everything because of drug usage again. I was living on Social Security. Rent increase got us back to where we're at now. We traveled 400 miles to come back home to a place where we would be safe. I moved in with my sister into her new apartment. She's strictly nothing but methamphetamine usage all day long. We got caught up in that. I couldn't do it no more. My wife ran across to Ibrahim one day as we were just trying to figure out what we're going to do. And he says, come and talk to me. I'm back home at Right to Dream 2. It saves marriages. It saves lives. Me and my wife Saturday will celebrate 5 weeks clean from any type of drug because of Right to Dream 2 and because of what it's all about. This move, I think, is a good solution to the problem from downtown and these people talking about, well, you're going to ruin this, you're going to ruin that. I'm sorry, you're more worried about your wallet dying than you are the human beings out there. Let us all come and live in your houses for a while. I bet you'll get rid of us real quick. You'll get this stuff going real fast. Thanks.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Ibrahim Mubarak, co-founder of Dignity Village, founder of Right to Survive, and co-founder of Right to Dream 2. I've been in a houseless community in Portland, Oregon for about 16 years, and I always face these advocacies with people speaking on what things they don't know and of fear. And if they did their homework, they would know that Right to Dream 2 is a houseless community, but it's a houseless community where people come and try to get back into the mainstream of things. And we figure out the first thing that a houseless person needs is rest. And that's why we call it a rest area, where people come get rest. And as Trish stated before, our statistics speak for itself. We did our homework, and for the Platon Company next to us, I wonder how many people of color that work there, how many women that work there, and what they're afraid of. You all wasn't concerned about us before we decided to move over there. Why you playing like you're concerned about us now? You didn't come help us out. I was an aerospace technician and quit my job to help the homeless community out. What are you all doing to help us out by trying to ridicule us and say how bad and nasty and ugly we are, which we should be afraid of you all, because we doing the things that we need to do to become productive while you keep putting those negativities on us? We ask the city for no penny. We've been operating Right to Dream, too, by teaching the houseless community how to write grants, how to do public speaking. We sell our souvenirs. We get in-kind donations. And people that find work, they come back and give money back to us. And that's why we're not working in getting money from the housing committee, Commissioner Fish. But we are willing to work with you all. So when people do come to Right to Dream 2, maybe you all can put them in housing and we can keep on utilizing that as a transitional spot where people come to Right to Dream 2 to get housing. We know that we need each other and we're trying to connect things in intersectionality where we can help each other. Again, we can educate the houseless people since we do a two-block radius and keep the crime level down. We can train the people how to be flaggers for the trucks that come in. We have people in the community that did all kinds of things in their life, even truck drivers that two-spoken here, and they know how it is to drive trucks. And you're talking about people with experience. Again, that's that negative thought that shows me you don't know what you're talking about, because everybody in the houseless community was something before they became houseless. The move is needed because the land is sold, and everybody say it may not be the ideal place, but it's an, in the meantime, temporary need for the houseless people that's utilizing it right now. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Next three are 32, Leo Rhodes, Sue Stahl, and Robert Jackson, number 34. And they'll be followed by 35, David Keith Davis, Sarah Inarone, and Marion Haynes.
Give her help. Give her a hand there. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Leo Rhodes, and I'm a homeless advocate, also co-founder of Right to Dream 2 and a board member. The mayor, we had a conversation when you had this emergency for the homeless. And my comment to you was, the working homeless people are asking, why are they rewarding homeless people that have vices, drugs, alcohol, mentally ill, with housing? Where's my housing at? A lot of these homeless individuals are like that. This gives a chance for people with Right to Dream 2, gives a chance for these individuals to have a spot and to keep on working instead of trying to fight the system, fight the cops that keep taking away their stuff with the sweeps. Yes, the sweeps. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So also, Right to Dream 2 started on October 10, 2011. I got housing, and I believe I was the first person that got housing out of there, which was December 7, 2011. It took me 10 years to get housing. Because I didn't want to play the system like the system is, which is you have to be on drugs, alcohol, or mentally ill in order to get housing. I have none of those vices, and I couldn't get any housing because of that. So I was considered a chronically homeless person. People consider somebody like me that's been out there for 10 years, oh, well, he likes it out there. That's why he's doing that. He doesn't want this. It wasn't that. It was just that I wasn't going to play that system and say, look, yeah, every homeless person is on drugs and alcohol. No, I'm not going to do that, and I didn't do that. December 7th of last year was my four-year anniversary. Now, I've been keeping my place clean, been keeping up on my bills and other stuff. I know that there's a lot of people that talk about Right to Dream 2 is just a temporary place until there's enough affordable housing for everybody. It's not a permanent solution. This is what's happening right now is what we're talking about and what I believe Amanda Fritz was talking about, getting people together. That is my goal, and that's what I would like, people to get together and understand that not every homeless person is on drugs, alcohol, mentally ill. When you talk about mentally ill, also, you're talking about sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation is when homeless people don't get that chance to sleep at night because of the sweeps. Now, they're walking around like zombies. They don't make good decisions. And when they react to that kind of stuff, then people start pointing their finger and saying, oh, look, that homeless person's on drugs. Oh, look, that homeless person is mentally ill. No, sleep deprivation, it's big out there. And this is why it's needed, right, to train too. That's just a temporary thing. I heard a lot of other suggestions, which is great. We need to start doing this. We need to start putting more stuff on out there other than affordable housing, ways of getting homeless people inside a safe, secure place. Thank you for this.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, commissioners and mayor. I'd like to start with a quote. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do to me. My name is Sue Stahl. I'm the vice chair of the Portland Commission on Disability and a member of many other community groups. But I'm here today as a human being supporting fellow human beings who have the same basic rights to services as all of us do. We also have the right to access these services without barriers. We have the right to be accepted as part of society without being ostracized and swept into a corner. I'm talking about the community that is the right to dream to and the city's plan to uproot it and move it to a place that is further from social services, further from their community, and from all outward appearances, is in the corner of Portland society. Currently located at 4th and Burnside, there are many crucial services within only a 10-minute walk. You have Outside In, which addresses changing needs of the homeless and low-income youth. You have Women's Centers that provide safe and affordable planning. You have the Old Town Clinic. And then you have Hooper's Detox Center, which is about a 20-minute walk. But City Hall uses the argument that each resident of Right to Dream 2 will be given a free transportation pass so that buses and MACs will take these individuals to the places they need to go. However, it is not as simple as that. Right to Dream 2 has to ask for grants to fund these free passes. As a grant writer myself, I know how arduous and time-consuming this process can be. You can wait anywhere from 3 to 6 months to get the needed funding. So instead of helping residents fight through addiction or finding services, Eve is working on grants. This is barrier number one.
So thank you very much for your testimony.
Okay.
My name is Robert Jackson again. A bit of history of Oregon. My great-great-grandfather signed the Oregon territorial documents in his living room in Shampooey, Oregon. He married my Chinook great-grandmother. I take the position that that created apartheid. The first laws of Oregon said if you're black, Hispanic, Native, or Asian, you could not testify against a white person or sit on a jury. And, of course, we created reservations that were called apartheid. Now we're in an era where we have certain people in the community want to continue apartheid. We have apartheid in Israel. When I went to Israel in 1972, my Palestinian tour guide was an archaeologist. He drove me by a house in Bethlehem. He says, Robert, do you see that house there? Yes. My family lived there for 300 years. Menachem Begin came in with his army, threw my family out of that house, and moved an Israeli family in. So I want to remind you, I said, yes, we have 500 years of apartheid. So Israel is doing apartheid, South Africa is doing apartheid, and now we have a community today that is looking at apartheid. Just go someplace else. Go Greyhound. So my position is that I have a couple of concerns about your agreement I just sat down and read, is that you have a current council that is supportive of this initiative, have spent several years to put this together. But what happens when there's a new mayor what happens when there's a new council member. This is a 10-year agreement, but there are no checks and balances. Virtually, a new city council can come in and throw this organization out the door. The $1 billion of the East Side real estate of commercial or industrial area can bring a lawsuit against a small nonprofit, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on frivolous lawsuits, and there are no protections in this agreement that the city attorney as well as others in the community would support this organization. You also only have mediation without the provision of a lawsuit and due process. I would ask that you actually incorporate that into this agreement to give protections to this simple nonprofit working on a shoestring. I appreciate your work. I've worked with homeless people since 1990.
Thank you for your testimony. If you could finally send the rest in writing, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Finally, one final thing is that
we're actually running out of time. The council is going to lose a quorum.
Seattle.
Thank you very much.
Directors. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are David Keith Davis.
So how many do we have? How many do we have left?
Five more.
All right, we'll take those and then take
David out. Keith Davis, Sarah Ian Narone, and Marion Haynes, and then the last two are Terry Light and Trillium Shannon.
Okay, you're here. Come on up. Seeing two of those. Anyone else of that group still here? Okay, go ahead, David.
So I'm David Keith Davis with Fight the Sweeps Portland and also founding member of Multnomah County Cop Watch. I just wanted to say that R2D2 reduces crime, reduces homelessness, and is a service to the community in ways that no other city agency or county agency or other community agencies have provided. And I not only endorse them getting this spot, I endorse them getting 10, 20 more spots, since they've shown themselves to be such a great organization that actually does put a serious dent in the homeless problem. And, you know, there's a lot of different people here that have argued all this various stuff about city codes and all this other stuff. Well, you want to know what? The homeless state of emergency overrides all these various city codes in a lot of ways. So you guys, you yuppies out there and you business owners or whoever that thinks business overrides human rights and human survival, you just need to shut up and take it, okay? And deal with it. This is the New Deal, okay? So all you yuppies are just going to have to deal with the New Deal and realize that the city is finally going to do a few things for homeless people. So you guys just need to shut up and do something yourself, or come with some better plan, since no one else has stepped up other than Right to Dream. And, you know, this is all about human survival, and all these BS arguments are just, you know, I can't even believe some of the stuff I've heard here today, you know. And this guy is talking about apartheid, you know. Apartheid, homeless apartheid is a huge reality everywhere, okay? And you can go look at a video on YouTube by Mike Bluehair, Film the Police Portland, that I helped film. It's called Homeless Apartheid. And, you know, so I endorse Right to Dream in all sorts of ways. They're one of the best community organizations, and no one else is doing the job that they are doing. So I endorse you guys to give them, you know, 10, 20 more spots or other city properties to take over and replicate this role model.
Thank you. Marion, you're next.
Good evening, Mayor Hales, members of council. My name is Marion Haynes. I'm with the Portland Business Alliance. We couldn't agree more that we as a community need to be doing more to help those experiencing homelessness on our streets. So we very much agree about that. I will limit my comments. It's getting late, but just wanted to really focus on the issues around the zoning confirmation letter, and would agree with the comments by Christy White that we think that there are some flaws in the analysis that put this into a community service category and yet not the mass shelter and short-term housing that are prohibited in industrial zone. I think those provisions in the code are there to avoid potential conflicts in industrial zones between residential uses and industrial uses. And my reading, so this is not necessarily about R2-D2. I think it's a unique organization and what they're doing. But if this zoning code is adopted, this confirmation letter is adopted, this will essentially open up this type of use as an allowed use in industrial zones all over the city. Those become non-discretionary permit applications, and so these types of encampments, which are challenging and bring out a lot of different points of view, won't necessarily have the opportunity to come back before council if they, you know, still have under 3,000 square feet of structures and things of that nature. So it's a bigger issue that the zoning confirmation letter brings up, and just wanted to raise that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Terry Light, and I think the last time I was here testifying, it was before Paris, and I've come back from Paris. So I look forward to Portland having a Right to Dream 2 in a neighborhood, so it has a neighborhood association to have dialogue with. I don't think that R2-D2 is a solution yet, totally. It is a place where people can rest, hold their belongings, be among peers, find the energy and rest to get up and work to get inside, and they've shown a record of getting people inside. There necessarily needs to be more conflict and dialogue. That's all part of understanding our condition as human beings and where we're at this moment in time. We are at a time where we really need to have some drastic change in the way we have society. And a big change we have to do is how we have our social contracts. We are not making success all by ourselves. We need each other. And those relationships and qualities of relationships define how we can succeed or not succeed. I've seen really a lot of recovery from R2-D2, people getting their minds together after having lost sleep, maybe even traumas they've had. The people there help each other in ways that shelters cannot, because the people who are providing help in shelters are in a shelter system and have those limitations. And finally, I want to say system thinking says you cannot have solutions if you not have the people experiencing the problems have central in finding those solutions. And R2-D2 has shown that they have a voice, and they are the reason we have a state of emergency here in Portland, because of their voice. So I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, we appreciate every. Oh, sorry, one more.
Right. Trillium Shannon was the last person who signed up.
Okay. Shannon's still here. Mr. Johnson, you get the last word before we deliberate and discuss.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. I usually don't say it that way, but good evening, council members. I'm Charles Johnson. And what we have here, obviously, we have some people from Eastside Plating, a little bit contentious issue for them, regardless of how they've run wild in the neighborhood there before. But what we have is an absence of highly paid poverty pimps. The executive director of Transition Projects, not around. The executive director of Central City Concern, not around. They're doing something else with their $100,000+ salaries right now. But they're not coming forth with a better solution. Nobody's come for, well, there was the brilliant idea with the ships. I like that. Let's get somebody to ships and barges. Other than that, nobody's given you a better option, so you have to vote yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I think we should proceed to take action on these two resolutions. We still have a majority of the council here, so if there are no further questions.
Can I just get a clarification from Catherine Beaumont, please?
Mm-hmm.
Catherine, would you mind? The assertion has been made that this is a land use proceeding and that we are required to give a 7-day continuance to hold the record open. Would you comment on that, please?
That the statute that was cited applies to quasi-judicial land use quasi-judicial land use decision. In my opinion, this does not satisfy the state law definition of quasi-judicial. Yes, it does concern a piece of property, but this is not a process where you are applying pre-existing criteria, nor is it a process where you have to make a decision. So in my sense, no, that statute doesn't apply.
very much. If there's no further discussion, then let's take
questions, a... Commissioner Fisher?
I have a bunch of questions.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Can we have staff come up? So and thank you for the earlier presentation. Under the terms of this resolution, what's the process for establishing the terms of Exhibit E?
I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me. Exhibit E.
User's code of conduct for the property.
The user's code of conduct is what exists currently with R2-D2, as well as we'll work with them on, as you pointed out earlier, Commissioner Salzman, that we include things that are not currently included that we want to have included. We worked with them on the Lot 7 site and started that process, but never finished that site, so we're continuing that process.
And paragraph 7 of the user agreement, space use agreement, rather, has another set of general conditions. Who enforces those conditions? They have to do with behavior on the site and
the site is self-managing, so the R2-D2 board and the members actually manage the actual site. We take care of the buildings, what the city owns as far as buildings and structure, and we manage to the use agreement and make sure those are met.
Under this agreement, Bob, who is responsible in the city for overseeing this contract?
That has not been determined yet.
That has not been determined?
That's correct. The use agreement is still draft, and we're still working on that.
Do you have a thought on that?
It's still a draft. I think that can be determined.
You're the mayor. Do you have a view as to who should have oversight of this particular development?
You mean who on the city side?
Well, it's an agreement between the city and a nonprofit. We have Dignity Village is overseen by the Housing Bureau. You said earlier that you are interested in moving the homeless services of the city to the county. You are running camping for the city. If this thing is agreed to, who is responsible for it?
I think that's up for us to determine when we write the agreement. But what's before us today is a zoning confirmation letter and a resolution of intent. So I'd like to act on those in turn and determine those other questions later after we've decided these questions.
If you'd like to bring us to bring the use agreement back, we could do that.
Yeah, bring it back to council.
The questions that Commissioner, I'm taking a cue here from Commissioner Fritz, who is usually the one who burrows into the details. We have an agreement in front of us that doesn't specify the cost. It doesn't specify the rules. It doesn't specify who enforces. And it doesn't define some of the key terms, and so I at some point we're going to have to flesh that out. What's the intent?
So I appreciate your attention to detail.
We're trying to
do one step at a time. I know that there's concern in the community about the good neighbor agreement having the city being a party to it and being somewhat more enforceable than good neighbor agreements often are. So I'd be very comfortable returning to council with a final use agreement and the good neighbor agreement at a further.
And we can direct whatever staff we choose to direct to follow up, whether it's Mr. Keita or someone else.
We have almost a full-time person at the Housing Authority, as Ibrahim knows, who works on the success of Dignity Village because it's a complicated relationship. Have we determined where we think this will be housed in terms of the oversight?
We actually look into the Office of Management and Finance to OMF.
And that's primarily because...
Facilities manager.
Because we own the property.
Well, is that also because... Commissioner Salzman has said he doesn't want Housing Bureau money involved?
No, it's because the Office of Management and Finance has been managing this property since we purchased.
The Office of Management and Finance, Mayor, has never managed a homeless housing or camp or program, to my knowledge. And we do, I appreciate the flexibility that we are operating under, but we do have a Housing Bureau.
Well, we have an agreement with a nonprofit organization in the case of this property.
We do with the Housing Bureau on almost every project.
If the Housing Bureau wants to volunteer to manage this, then I think we should take that under consideration.
As I said, we're just trying to do one step at a time, and we'd be happy to come back with more details, including cost, including final site plan, including a revised use agreement.
Oversight, rules,
yeah,
liability issues.
Absolutely.
And so, okay,
further questions for staff? Okay, then let's take a vote. Oh, sorry.
Mayor, actually, I would feel more comfortable if we waited on a vote until next week. There's a, just a, some conversations I like to have with staff before casting a vote.
Okay.
Because is that we're going to throw an irreparable wrench into the monkey?
I don't think so, but there's no time like the present. But these, again, these are both resolutions. They are not ordinances. One is to accept the zoning confirmation letter, and the other is to affirm our intent to proceed. If either of those would benefit from more deliberation, that's always a possibility.
I also had an amendment I wanted to offer to 163.
Okay. Well, let's deal
with one. The conversation, though, which I think addresses your amendment.
Yeah.
Which
is, oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Which is
in absentia.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize. I was talking to Salem, but.
That's
I would say
always. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for doing that. So what we said was, we heard your concern about minors on the property, and that we would come back at a future date with a revised use agreement and a good neighbor agreement and the final site plan with the costs and such.
Those are all coming to us.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I heard from council that that would, and I know members of the community would be more comfortable with that too. Okay. Does that address what your proposed amendment was?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
So, Mayor, would you describe for us what the effect of passing Resolution 163 is? I've raised a set of issues about the details, but what is your understanding of what was before us?
The effect of passing 162 is to say we agree with the Bureau of Development Services interpretation of the code and confirm that this is a use that is legal to place on this piece of property per our zoning code, correct? The effect of resolution number, the resolution of item number 163, the effect of that resolution is to instruct the Office of Management and Finance to continue the process and to make all preparations necessary for the relocation of the Right to Dream 2 nonprofit from its current location to this piece of city property. There are, as we've just discussed, there are mechanisms and documents that have to be completed in order for that to happen, like a use agreement, and those can be brought back to council, as Commissioner Fritz indicated. But the effect of item number 162 is to state our intent that we're moving Right to Dream 2 from its current location to this one.
163.
Sorry, 163. That's it. It's a statement of intent to proceed, because we need to proceed. We've been talking about this decision for years, and in my opinion, it's time to decide whether we're going to move forward or not. So, Steve, if you'd really like to wait another week to decide, I'll respect that. But I think I would not overcomplicate the question before us. It's, is this legal? Yes or no? That's the vote on 162. Should we move it here? Yes or no? That's the decision on 163.
I understand your sense of urgency, Mayor, but I would like another week.
I'm comfortable with that. Sure. Then I will continue this item until next Thursday at...
This would be the only item on next Thursday if you want to.
2 p.m.?
Well, it's actually, you'd have to do a 4/5 again. Because
we're already at Thursday. Well, but you've closed the public hearing, correct?
I'm closing the public hearing.
Just continuing it.
I'm continuing our discussion and vote on these two items.
What do we have on Thursday?
Regardless of whether or not this is a land use review.
What about Wednesday
afternoon? Send us more comments in the meantime.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a week. It could be 6 days, perhaps. But.
There's nothing on Wednesday afternoon.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
Something canceled.
Moment of weakness.
It'll be a 4/5 item.
Yeah.
What?
It'll be a 4/5 agenda item.
The agenda's already done.
Oh, yeah, let's do Wednesday afternoon rather than Thursday.
Right. Does that change, if it's 4/5, Commissioner Fritz, does that change the vote?
No.
No, just change how many people have to sign the document
to
put
it on
the calendar.
I got lost the last time. So 4/5 still puts you back to, this would be a 4/5 to put an emergency provision back on the calendar.
No, it's a resolution.
Just to schedule it.
Okay.
And it's a resolution, it only requires actually 3 votes.
That's 3 votes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So thank you, everybody.
Thank
to
you
be
all.
Continued, but
Wednesday,
thank you.
At 2 p.m.
Time. 2 p.m.
Thank you, Bob.
Actually, for a long time. Thank you, everybody, for participating.
You too.
Yeah,